welcome in our next guest, continuing to talk about the Utah Jazz at the trade deadline. Find him on Twitter at TripJazz. Read him in the Salt Lake Tribune. He's our 1320K fan, Utah Jazz insider. It is Tony Jones. Tony, thanks for joining
us. Hey, Tony.
What's up, guys?
Tony, surprised at the deadline the Jazz didn't make any moves?
I'm a little surprised because I think, you know, I knew going in that they didn't want to surrender a rotation player in any type of deal. I knew that, you know, Derek Favors going out, it was going to have to take a significant offer. None of that materialized, but I did think that they would do something around the periphery, maybe bring a player in where they didn't have to, where they could have just taken on some salary, done something like that. Sorry, I'm on the train. But if not, I mean, I just thought that they would have done something like that, and they just kind of stood pat.
Was it ever a serious possibility for the Jazz to reunite with Deron Williams this year?
I don't think so. I think he's probably going to go to Cleveland, like has been reported out there. You know, I think that the Jazz, they really like what Dante Exum's doing, and, you know, more than one person in the organization has told me that, you know, from now and in this summer, they don't want to stunt his growth. They want to keep him on an upward trajectory. They still really think that they have something there, potentially. So I don't anticipate Deron Williams coming.
Tony, when you look at this Jazz roster, do you think these are the 15 players they have the rest of the way? Will they buy anyone out, waive anybody to try and get in a situation where they can either sign another player off of waivers or bring in some 10-day contracts?
Well, the one thing Dennis Lindsay told me was that he didn't want to make any additions at this time or deletions at this time. So, you know, I would imagine that this is the 15 that they're rolling with, unless they get a deal that's, you know, kind of hard to turn down. In terms of a buyout option or something like that. But other than that, I think that they're going to go with this team. They like this roster. They like the chemistry of this roster. And the big significant thing is they haven't seen this roster healthy for very long, and I think that they want to take a stock at that. They're going to be fully healthy going into to Milwaukee tomorrow, and they want to see if they can stay healthy and see what kind of team they have when they are healthy.
Does Rodney Hood expect to be 100% healthy tomorrow heading into that game against Milwaukee?
Yeah, he's going to be back, and he told me last week that you know, the reason why he was out through the All-Star break was just so that he could get the extra time off, so he could get his knee right. So he's going to be healthy, and he's going to be back in the lab tomorrow.
Tony Jones is our guest, 1320K fan. What about the health of George Hill? Did the fact that his toe has kind of been hot, not hot, he seems to miss time kind of randomly, did that play into the fact that the Jazz didn't trade Shelvin Mack?
Yeah, I think that they wanted as much depth as possible, and I think that you're right, the toe has been an issue for George Hill on and off. It would be interesting to see how it looks for him now that he's had a week off kind of to rest things. But I think he is healthy in terms of being able to play. I'm interested to see where his explosion is, to see if he resembles more of the October-November George Hill than the George Hill that we've been seeing of late.
Are the Jazz more likely to be chasing the Clippers here for the last few games, or are they more worried about Memphis potentially passing them? What's a bigger issue in your opinion?
Well, I think the rule of thumb is that you always look up. So I think that the Jazz are going into the second half of the season tomorrow with the thought process of chasing the Clippers. And, you know, there's going to be movement on that one way or the other tonight because the Clippers play at the Golden State Warriors. So, you know, they could very well go into tomorrow in a virtual dead tie, and the Clippers play tomorrow night as well. So, you know, I think that, you know, you always look up. You don't look behind you enough. So I think that the Jazz thought process in this is that they're going to be trying to chase that home court advantage.
Tony, one of the things the Jazz still have some flexibility to do before the end of the season is work on those contracts of George Hill and Derek Favors. Do you think they're going to make an effort to do that now that they know how much money they have or won't be spending by the end of the season? Will they try and ink those guys to longer deals in season?
Well, I don't think it's going to happen with either one of those guys. Derek hasn't been healthy enough and consistently for the Jazz to do it, and George Hill's camp, they've always wanted to hit free agency. So I don't see it happening with either one of those guys. I think that both of those guys, I think that George Hill's going to be an unrestricted free agent in the offseason. And I think that Derek's going to enter the offseason as an expiring contract for next year.
Did Gordon Hayward pick up on any new habits? Should fans expect any different style from him after playing in the All-Star game, or does Gordon Hayward just maintain what he's always done?
No, I think the All-Star game itself was a throwaway for him. I think that what he did pick up was just the fact that, hey, I belong here. So I think that there could be an extra confidence thing with him in terms of that. But in terms of just on the floor, I think that the All-Star game was just kind of a throwaway for him. I mean, he likened it to a pickup game at the YMCA. That was the comparison that he used when I asked him. So I think, you know, the air of confidence is definitely going to be there. And I think that that's going to be a significant factor with him. But I think other than that, I think he's going to just do what got him there.
Tony, was there anyone who you thought really improved their roster at the trade deadline?
I love what Oklahoma City did. I loved a couple of things. I love what Oklahoma City did when getting Taj Gibson. I really like what Houston did with getting Lou Williams. I like what the Brooklyn Nets have done. They've cleared out some contracts and some dead space, even though that's not going to show on the scoreboard and in the standings. I think that they're back on the right track towards respectability. And so I do like what a couple of people did. And, you know, but I really do think that Oklahoma City was a really big winner today in the trade deadline.
Does Lou Williams do enough for what Houston's got going on offense now to change your mind about whether or not the Jazz and Houston are a good matchup for the Jazz in the playoffs?
You know, I mean, it's the same style. I mean, you know, they're going to, you know, at the end of the day, they're a team that's going to do two things. They're either going to shoot threes or they're going to shoot layups. You know, so I think, you know, Lou Williams doesn't change that as much. He just adds to the three-point shooting and, you know, the offense that they have. I think they have, you know, maybe the best offense in the league outside of Golden State. But, you know, in terms of, you know, whether the Jazz can match up well with them or not, I don't think that he, you know, changes that significantly one way or the other.
You can find him on Twitter at TripJazz. Read him in the Salt Lake Tribune. Our Utah Jazz insider, Tony Jones. Great stuff, Tony. Thanks.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.